ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम एवरीवन फॉर दिस भगवद गीता क्लास। वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। दिस इज चैप्टर नंबर 5, टेक्स्ट नंबर 7। The chapter is entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriya Sarvabhutatma Bhutatma कुर्वन अपि न लिप्यते। योग एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन, वन हु वर्क्स इन डिवोशन, हु इज अ प्योर सोल एंड हु कंट्रोल्स हिज माइंड एंड सेंसेस इज डियर टू एवरीवन एंड एवरीवन इज डियर टू हिम। दो ऑलवेज वर्किंग सच अ मैन इज नेवर एंटैंगल्ड। परपोट, one who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna, just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. He knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches, or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all, he is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of his being deviated from Krishna. Nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. One may ask, why then was Arjuna offensive in battle to others? Wasn't he in Krishna consciousness? Arjuna was only superficially offensive because, as has already been explained in the second chapter, all the assembled persons on the battlefield would continue to live individually as the soul cannot be slain. So, spiritually no one was killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only their dresses were changed by the order of Krishna, who was personally present. Therefore, Arjuna, while fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was not really fighting at all. He was simply carrying out the orders of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Such a person is never entangled in the reactions of work. Hare Krishna. So, I would like to thank everyone for coming for the Gita class regularly here. Seek your blessings for speaking something on this, on the immortal words of Lord Krishna in the most famous scripture well known everywhere, the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada has very beautifully designed the system of the morning Bhagavatam class and the evening Gita classes. Srila Prabhupada said the whole day one should do service to Lord Krishna, and should begin the day by hearing Bhagavatam, and should conclude the day by hearing Gita. And in this way one can fully engage in Krishna consciousness. So, we are currently discussing the 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Let us take an example to understand this chapter very deeply and very simply. Let's say if you have a small child in your house and the child has somehow picked up a 500 rupee note from your pocket. So now you see the child is holding this 500 rupee note in his hands or in her hands, the child. And you know the child doesn't know the value of 500 rupee note. So at best what will happen? She will crumble the note, or maybe if she is more active then she will also see how thick or how thin is the note, and you tear the note in front of your eyes, that 500 rupee note for which you have worked so hard, it will be in pieces. So now you have to get the 500 rupee note from the child. And if you have to get the 500 rupee note from the child, if you snatch it from the child, two things can happen. The child will hold it tight and the note will be towed. Or second thing, you may be able to snatch the note from the child, but you end up displeasing the child and child will start crying, which will be more difficult, worth 500 rupees also to stop him crying. So the parent has to now devise a plan to get the 500 rupee note out. So the parents know that, you know, the best thing the child likes is the chocolate. And chocolate don't cost much. So the parent might get a chocolate out of the pocket and show it to the child. Now, the child has in his right hand the 500 rupee note. And he has been taught by the parents that anything you accept should be by right hand. Left hand kabhi use nahi karna chahiye. So now the 500 rupees note is in the right hand and a child is being offered a beautiful chocolate. So what will happen? Will a child think twice? 500 rupee note or the chocolate? The child is not going to think, because the child, for him, what is most precious? The chocolate. The child doesn't know that she can buy, or the child can buy the chocolate, more number of chocolates in 500 rupees. But because it is a child, doesn't know that. So the child comes up and picks up the chocolate. But while picking up the chocolate, he opens the hand. And what happens? The 500 rupee note falls down. And he takes the chocolate. And he opens the chocolate and he eats the chocolate. He is not at all worried about the 500 rupee note which has fallen on the ground. And the parent, the father or mother, picks up the 500 rupee note and put it back in the purse. So this is what Krishna is telling Arjuna here. Arjuna, you are attached to that 500 rupee note. You are attached to that thing. You are like a child. You cannot give up the attachment. The material attachment is like a child attached to that note. He wants something. He wants to try out everything in life. So, in order to remove that attachment, detachment is not the answer. One cannot give up all the attachment one has in the material world suddenly. Just like a child cannot give up the 500 rupee note. So the father or the mother dangles a chocolate. And through the chocolate, what happens? Automatically the child, which was attached to the 500 rupee note, gives up the 500 rupee note and takes up the chocolate. So while taking up the chocolate, the child is not at all thinking that the 500 rupee note is falling down. He is only interested in the chocolate. Similarly, Krishna is telling Arjuna in the 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, you cannot run away from duty because you are not trained. A worldly man is attached to so many things in life. We are attached to so many gadgets, and suddenly giving up all those gadgets and giving up work will be difficult. Even though renunciation of work may be an authorized process in the Vedic study, in the Vedic scriptures, but that process is not applicable for everyone. In fact, it's a very difficult process. A lot of risk is involved. Someone may give up his duty and go out and not work and simply remain in meditation somewhere in outside the city, in forest somewhere, thinking that I will give up, I'll get no reaction by that. But the problem will be because the mind and senses are attached to objects of senses. Therefore, you cannot give up the attachment. So Krishna offers that the same attachment you have to material things, that attachment you use it in my service, in Krishna's service. and Krishna offers the bhakti yoga. The process of bhakti yoga is the same attachment, the same activity which you are doing for your own self, do it for me. And by that process, what Arjuna was perceiving to be a liberated soul would be achieved just by being working as obliged and for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Lord Krishna also calls such a person who is working, but working as per direction of Shastra for the pleasure of Krishna, such a person is also called as Nitya Sannyasi. He may not carry a danda, he may not wear a saffron, he may not have a jata or a shaved head, but just by being properly working in the consciousness, in the Krishna consciousness, as given in the scriptures, for the pleasure of Krishna, his, while performing his duty, he becomes a Nitya Sannyasi, a detached worker, or also called a Karma Sannyasi. In fact, the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita opens up with Arjuna's question, which is better, to work in devotion or to renounce? And Krishna says, work in devotion is better. And from this verse, which we are covering, text number 7, Lord Krishna is understanding that Arjuna is now seems to be more interested in knowing who is this person working in devotion. I want to know about him. So Krishna is going to explain now in this series of verses starting from text number 7 the characteristics of a person who is working in devotion. And here we can see Krishna is saying to Arjuna, one who is working in devotion, he is a pure soul and he can control his mind and senses. And therefore he is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. So this is a very valid point mentioned here in the purport. The Prabhupada says, why does a Krishna conscious person is dear to everyone and why everyone is dear to the Krishna conscious person? It's a very difficult thing to satisfy everyone in this world. And in, for example, we may have a family and we know in this, even in a small nuclear family which we have, it is so difficult to satisfy everyone. Satisfy parents, satisfy wife or husband, satisfy children. And always we see that they always have a grudge against the person who stands satisfied. So in this material world, very difficult that you are dear to everyone and everyone is dear to you. But here we see Krishna is saying that a devotee of Krishna who is satisfying Krishna is also dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. And Srila Prabhupada explains how, philosophically, how it is possible that a person can be dear to everyone and everyone can be dear to him. Srila Prabhupada in the purport is giving example of what the tree. Now you see, from tree we can learn two lessons. One is that the part of tree, the leaf or branches are part of tree. They are not different from tree. And if someone has to water the tree, what he will do? He will climb the tree and go to every branch and water the branch. Is it not? That is the most easiest thing. Climb a tree and water the branch and water the leaf and water the fruit. But you end up falling down from the tree and breaking your legs. So that is not a logical part. Even a child knows what is the best way to water the tree. Water the root. And where is the root? The topmost part of a tree? No, the most downmost part, which anyone can access. Even a small child can water the root of the tree. And when you water the root of the tree, is there any doubt in anyone's mind? Will the water go to that fruit on a third branch there? Will the fruit receive the water? There is no doubt. Why? Because the root is so designed that the water reaches. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Lila Vishaka Ki Jai Shri Gopal Ji Bhagwan Ki Jai Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Similarly, in this material world, the trees compared to this gigantic universe. By offering it is mentioned that Krishna, all the living entities in this tree are part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manashastani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karashati. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Mavaiva Amsha. All the living entities are my Amsha, my part and parcel. And therefore, this is the right philosophy which a devotee knows, that Krishna and Krishna's part and parcel are connected. It is not like Krishna made this world and his world is like this and Krishna has forgotten this world. Sometimes in the Western world, there is a depicting of God, that God has made the world and now is carrying the world. And carrying the world has become so heavy that Lord is finding it difficult to lift the world. That is the famous depicting of Lord as Atlas in the Roman literatures, in the Roman scriptures. That they show a God who is very tired, worn out. He has good bulging muscles, but is very tired now. And very old also, because it's so long he has been in this earth, on this in this universe. The first person on this earth, on this universe. And he is holding the earth. So difficult for him to lift the earth. Why? Because the earth has become very much heavy and burdensome. But that's the wrong understanding of God. God and the living entities are inseparable. They cannot be separated. The world is never different from Lord. It's an integral part. The world, the material creation and the living entities. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, that in this material universe, there are the material energy and there is a spiritual energy. What is the material energy? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. And then the superior energy is the living entity. But even though living entity is superior energy, the living entity is trying to exploit this inferior energy, the material energy. And the reaction is, because he is trying to enjoy and exploit this material nature, he is getting entangled. It is just like you decide to buy a PC, a computer, thinking that by buying a computer, you will be able to get your work done very nicely. You will be able to spare more time in your life. But what happens when you buy a PC? You end up spending more time on the PC and you regret. Why did I sit so much on the PC? So that thing which was supposed to solve your problem becomes a source of another big problem of yours. That you are addicted to computer. And people are complaining, what is this? You are always in front of a PC. And it happens in everything. We buy a mobile for our own self, for our purpose. But we end up becoming attached to the mobile. And we have to buy a mobile with so many gadgets, so many facilities. And we become attached to all those facilities. So instead of becoming the enjoyer of the facility, we become enjoyed or being controlled by that facility. That is the expertise of material energy. It looks very simple, but it controls us in turn. So we have all been controlled in the material world here. And therefore, we should know we have to come out of it. And this Karma Yoga chapter speaks on that. How to come out of it? Come out of it by using all those facilities which we have in Krishna's service. So here Prabhupada is saying again that the living entities are inseparable from Lord, just like the tree is inseparable from the branches and the leaves. And if someone has to provide water to the leaf and the branch, he has to water the root of the tree. Similarly, if someone has to serve everyone, which is impossible work, to serve everyone, the best thing is serve Krishna. And next is give Krishna to others. When you serve Krishna and give Krishna to others, what will happen? The living entity who is suffering in this material world, trying to enjoy and exploit, he knows. One should not enjoy in this material world. Rather, one should serve Krishna. One may have all the facilities. One may have a car, a bungalow, a house, a family, everything. The things will not change. He will not give up things, but he will change his consciousness. Like for example, in this temple, everything is spiritual. The deities are there. The altar is there. This Vyasasana is there. The floor is there. Everything is spiritual because everything is used in Krishna's service. Whose Vyasasana it is? It is Krishna's Vyasasana. Whose floor it is? It is Krishna's floor. Whose temple it is? It is Krishna's temple. Whose books are those? Krishna's books. The only one thing which we have to change is our consciousness. Because we are thinking, we are separate from Krishna. We are the enjoyers. So therefore, Krishna consciousness, in simple Hindi, is not Krishna bhavanavrit ka matlab kuch chhodna nahi. Bhagwan ko jodna. That means adding Krishna in our life, that means everything we have is Krishna's. I am the caretaker. And the way Krishna wants me to take care, that is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So I will base my life based on the Bhagavad Gita. So these two concepts are important. Watering the root of the tree, and through the tree, through the root, all the leaves and branches are nourished. This verse comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatha taror mula nishechanena tripyanti yaskanda bhujopashaka pranopaharat yatha indriyanam. Lord Krishna says, in Bhagavatam it is mentioned that how, if someone wants to water the tree, he should water the root. And if someone wants to nourish the body, the food should go in the stomach. No matter the hand is cooking the food, but the hand should use the food and give the food to the mouth. And the mouth will work, the mouth will chew the food, and the food will go in the stomach. And through the stomach, every limb of the body, the hand, the legs, the head, everyone will be nourished. The hand can think, well, I have cooked the rasgulla. Why should this mouth enjoy the rasgulla? Tomorrow the hand may think, every day I am working, I am preparing rasgulla, I am preparing chapati, I am preparing paratha, I am preparing this and that. And ultimately after preparing, I am not enjoying, I am giving it to the mouth. And it's going to my stomach. So the hand may think, let me protest today. Let me go on a strike. Why to Krishna? Or rather, why to the mouth? Why should the mouth enjoy? Let me enjoy. So the hand will hold rasgulla and say, oh, I am enjoying. Will the hand enjoy the sweetness of the rasgulla? Hand may enjoy what? The softness of the rasgulla. But if I tell you, today is a big party after the Bhagavad Gita class, and we are going to give you rasgullas, unlimited, and then you go and stand in the line, in the prasadam counter, and then we give you rasgulla, don't eat, only hold. Will you be able to enjoy the rasgulla? You will be frustrated more. Why? Because no rasgulla, out of sight, out of mind. But now rasgulla in hand, but cannot eat. So the hand starts trying to enjoy rasgulla by keeping in the hand. But it's not able to enjoy. And on the other hand, because stomach is not being fed, what happens? The hand becomes weak. It is not able to even hold the rasgulla now. The best thing is put the rasgulla in the mouth, the rasgulla goes inside, the rasgulla gets digested, and all the required nutrition and energy goes to the hand. This is how enjoyment is possible here. That is, you give to Krishna, that is, water the root of the tree. Krishna enjoys. Krishna doesn't need anything to enjoy, but it's like someone offering a lollipop. A small child offers a lollipop to the father. Does the father enjoy lollipop? No. But the father enjoys the love, not the lollipop. So father will take a bite. And through the bite, will enjoy the love of the child. So Krishna doesn't require our house, our family, our gadgets. Krishna has it, everything. More than this. But through that, Krishna takes the love and Krishna becomes happy. And Krishna is satisfied, the stomach is full, the water is there on the root, then automatically everyone is nourished. And that is a concept which a devotee who is working in devotion understands, that by serving Krishna, everyone is satisfied. And that is the quality of a pure devotee. He knows that if I serve Krishna and if I give Krishna to everyone, what will happen? Everyone will be dear to me and I will be dear to everyone. And that was the quality of a pure devotee. A great soul, a great Mahatma Purush is known for this quality. When you come across a great soul, a great Santa Purush, a great Mahatma, what is the quality that attracts you? You will see that he has no distinction. He likes everyone. Whether a person is rich or a poor, old and a young, anyone comes to him, he is equal to everyone. And therefore everyone appreciates that equality. Srila Prabhupada was such a Mahatma, such a great soul. Everyone was dear to him and he was dear to everyone. Anyone who came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, even for some time, experienced this quality in Srila Prabhupada's life, that this person has not come to cheat us. All the disciples of Srila Prabhupada who helped Srila Prabhupada, initially when Srila Prabhupada went to America, They all know knew one thing. We don't know what he is speaking, what lecture he is giving. We don't understand. But one thing, this person loves us and this person will never cheat us. And therefore they were very happy to always associate with Srila Prabhupada. Even though Srila Prabhupada was having an age which was like quite a elderly age compared to their age. It was not the same age. They were mixing with the same age person. No. Srila Prabhupada was having an age where 16 and above, and they were all in 20s or 30s. So they could all relate to Prabhupada because Prabhupada was a pure devotee. He was dear to everyone and everyone was dear to him. So if someone wants to, like, considering the same example of watering the root of the tree or feeding the stomach. So if you want to water the root of the tree, will you take a digging tool and start digging the soil and then see the root and then water the root? No. If you want to water the root of the tree, the root is invisible. Is it not? The root is invisible. Then how do you water? You just simply put the water on the soil. And through the soil, the water goes to the root. Just like through the mouth, the food goes to the stomach. You're not going to do a surgery and put a rasgulla in the stomach directly. You're going to chew in the mouth and the food article will go in the stomach. Similarly, if you have to please Krishna, the only way is to please his pure devotee. Please his representative. Srila Prabhupada is such a person. By coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, an ordinary person on the street, just by loving Srila Prabhupada, he came to this platform. And he became dear to everyone and everyone became dear to him. That was Srila Prabhupada. One time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, everyone loves you. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because I love everyone. That is the quality of a pure devotee. He doesn't create any distinctions. One time, and why does Srila Prabhupada is dear to everyone? Because he is always subservient. He is a servant to his spiritual master. That is the connection. Srila Prabhupada never said that I am devotee of Krishna, therefore I will take you to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, I am servant of my guru. So that is the point. A devotee, even though he is connected to Krishna, he will always think, I am not connected to Krishna. I am connected to Krishna through my guru. So one time when Mataji came to Srila Prabhupada's room and she had bought some flowers. So she came inside the room and she said, Prabhupada's flowers. And Prabhupada said, offer it to Prabhupada. And she was confused. I mean, she was standing in front of Prabhupada with the flowers. And Prabhupada is saying her, offer it to Prabhupada. And she became confused. And Prabhupada said, showed the photo of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, just like you have your Prabhupada, that is me, I have my Prabhupada, that is my spiritual master. Therefore, offer it to him. So that is the point to be addressed here, that Srila Prabhupada, like pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he is always dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, not just dear to devotees, anyone. Srila Prabhupada in his initial days in America was staying in New York in Dr. Mishra's yoga studio. But Dr. Mishra was teaching yoga to all his American students. And Prabhupada was staying with him. And Dr. Mishra never allowed Srila Prabhupada to speak. Because he knew if Srila Prabhupada starts speaking, then he will lose his publicity. All of his students will go to Prabhupada. So he never allowed Srila Prabhupada to speak. He always told Prabhupada, okay, you come and attend my classes, but in the end you do kirtan, that's all. But just by the kirtan, Prabhupada attracted everyone. That was Prabhupada's purity. But Dr. Mishra, he also mentions later that when Srila Prabhupada came in my life, those were my happy days. Even a person was in one sense not happy with Prabhupada being Prabhupada there because Prabhupada was a Vaishnava and he was a Mayavad follower. He was against Vaishnava principles. Even he was very much affected by Srila Prabhupada's association. Srila Prabhupada would cook for him and make him feed. And he mentions that my health was going down, but at the right time Srila Prabhupada came in my life and he fed me good prasad and I became healthy again. So even Dr. Mishra was affected by Srila Prabhupada's association. And then the initial instance of Srila Prabhupada in Butler, Pennsylvania, where Srila Prabhupada was there in the house of a stranger. One boy from India, one young man from India, whom Srila Prabhupada had never met. He had married to an American lady and they were staying together in a house. And Prabhupada went to the house because Prabhupada did not know anyone in America. And he's very far off and I told that my son is staying in America, go and visit him. So Prabhupada reached America and Prabhupada was staying in their house. And they were meat eaters. And Prabhupada was a pure Vaishnava, had come just from Vrindavan. But while staying in their house also, Prabhupada did not make them feel that Prabhupada was a pure Vaishnava and they were all so-called fallen people. Prabhupada made them feel at home. In fact, they were happy that Prabhupada was at their house. And when Prabhupada was living, they were very much dejected. So even for a person who is a non-devotee, Prabhupada had a powerful effect. And therefore, we sing a bhajan where it is mentioned, Dhira dhira jano priya priya karo, nirmat saro pujito. A quality of a pure soul is that he is dear to both gentle and the ruffians. Both of them accept him as a great soul and are very intimately connected. There are many examples of many pure devotees. I'd like to take one more example of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a magistrate in the late 1800s. And it is mentioned that Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was a very pakka in his work. He would solve 22 cases every day from morning till afternoon. That's all. Which is very quite shocking. In today's age, court will handle 22 cases but will not able to solve even one case. It will take 22 years to solve one case. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time would solve 22 cases, 21 cases in one day. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so expert in handling cases that even the British government was very much kind of influenced by his power. It is mentioned that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be transferred to one place to another, it is mentioned in his biography that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was about to transfer from one place to another place as a magistrate. All the people in that place from where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living, they would be so much affected, they would all come out and they would not allow Bhaktivinoda Thakur to leave the place. And even the British officers who were in that state, in that particular area, from where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was moving to a new area, they would try their best to get all the influence to keep Bhaktivinoda Thakur in their place. And this was a time when British government was having strong hold on India. In fact, for Britishers, every Indian was a useless person. They treated Indian like a dirt. And even an educated Indian was treated very disrespectfully. The British government did not give any respect to. In fact, for example, it is mentioned that that time there were advertisements. But the British government would make fun of educated Indian people. And they would put some posters where some publicity was there about a post available. So I'll read a very nice advertisement which the British had put. Wanted sweepers, coolies and bishtis, water carriers, for the residents of Saidpur. None but educated Bengali babus who have passed the university entrance examination need apply. You can imagine, that was the way British government would make fun of educated Indians. At the same time, the same British officers had a very high reputation and respect for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why? Not because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was magistrate. Not because Bhaktivinoda Thakur would solve 22 cases. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was solving 22 cases because he was a pure devotee of Krishna. Why? Because he was connected to Krishna. And through Krishna, he was being empowered to do something which was highly impossible. So that is an example of how a pure devotee is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. So a question may be asked, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, that Arjuna, after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, is going to start a war. And in the war, Arjuna is going to fight. And when you're going to fight in the war, you're going to be very angry. And you're going to shoot what? Are you going to shoot balloons? No, you're going to shoot arrows. You're going to shoot arrows, you're going to kill people around, opposite to you. The opposition party is going to kill it by the hands of Arjuna. So how can Arjuna be dear to everyone and everyone be dear to Arjuna? Because apparently Arjuna will be dear to those who are in Pandava's side, but definitely not on the Kaurava's side. How Arjuna will be dear to people in Kaurava's side? Because he is killing Kauravas. So Srila Prabhupada says that Arjuna was not offensive in the battle. Arjuna was only superficially offensive. Because Arjuna knew that even if I shoot arrows, I'll be only killing their bodies. I won't be killing their soul. The soul is always eternal and the soul is going to change body. And even that killing which Arjuna was doing was a sanctioned killing. By whom? By Krishna. And who is Krishna? Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. So now Krishna has decided that Kauravas should get defeated. Why? Why should Kauravas get defeated? Because Kauravas were like thorny bushes in a good field. They were like weeds on a field. So even in a garden, if there are nice beautiful trees and there are very ugly weeds also growing, the gardener will regularly trim the weeds, because if the weeds are not trimmed, what will happen? The weeds will choke up the tree and the tree will die. So Krishna has come in this world. Krishna regularly comes in the world, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya paritranaya sadhunam. Krishna comes to pluck out the weeds. And who were the weeds? The Kauravas. And they were on one side. And the righteous party Pandavas on the other side. So Krishna was an expert surgeon who was going to do a beautiful operation and remove the tumor from the society. And he had used Arjuna as his knife to cut the tumor. So Arjuna was just an instrument. And because Arjuna was an instrument and Krishna was the main surgeon, so what happens? If Arjuna is not offensive. Just like if someone has a big boil on his hand and the boil is not being treated, you go to the doctor and tell doctor, "Doctor, there's a big boil on my hand. Remove the boil. It's very painful." And doctor says the boil is so much full of pus that you cannot wait and give medicines. You have to remove the pus. The doctor takes a needle, a sharp knife, and cuts the pus. And cutting the pus, the patient is shouting, "Doctor," slowly, "dheere se." And after the pus is cleared, the patient pays the doctor for using the knife. So a person of the third party may see, what is happening? This doctor is so cruel. He is using a knife and cutting and giving pain to the patient. And then he's more surprised, the patient is paying the doctor for giving so much of pain. But an intelligent person knows that the patient was suffering, the boil has to be removed. So the surgeon by cutting is very compassionately acting. So Krishna, and through Arjuna, Krishna is compassionately acting. And for all of us to stay, then the coming generation to be happy, Krishna removed the tumor, the Kauravas, from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna was victorious. And because Arjuna carried out the orders of Krishna, what happened? Krishna gave all the credits to Arjuna. So Arjuna fought on the behalf of Krishna. And who became well known? Did Krishna become well known? Krishna was already well known. But who became well known after the battlefield of Kurukshetra? Arjuna. Then Arjuna made the difference in the war. If Arjuna was not there, the result of the battle would have been on the other side. But Arjuna made the difference. He was the main person. He was a leading batsman who had that master stroke and he scored the maximum. So that was the point mentioned. That is the point Srila Prabhupada is trying to emphasize here. That if someone works in devotion, that means wherever he is staying, he starts putting Krishna in his life. Starts chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. See, even a small child is chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the first step in adding Krishna in our life, to chant Hare Krishna. And solely by chanting Hare Krishna, this Hare Krishna mantra will give us knowledge on further how we can add Krishna more in our lives. So this is the gist of this particular verse. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. We have 5 minutes here. We can, maybe one question we can address if there are some questions.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your time lecture. You said that this Arjuna after understanding Gita, in the morning I was hearing Arjuna, Prabhupada was saying that some evidence, in the court, if some evidence is given, if some authorities is given, then only it becomes a good case and the court gives a decision on that. So Arjuna, first of all, Arjuna did not understand Gita. After that, some evidence was given, some authorities was given by Krishna. And what is that evidence and authorities, I want to know.
Srila Prabhupada said that Arjuna did not understand Gita first, and then later some evidence was given.
He gave an example like that.
That is Bhagavad Gita itself. Initially, Krishna spoke the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, where he spoke everything together to Arjuna. But Arjuna could not understand. So Krishna had to speak 3rd to 18th chapter with all evidences. What the best evidence Krishna gave was his own universal form, showing that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he also spoke the Bhagavad Gita so expertly and so convincingly that Arjuna was convinced. And then Arjuna said at the end of the Bhagavad Gita that, I am ready to now do as you want, O Krishna. So that itself, the Bhagavad Gita itself was the evidence. There was not like Arjuna somehow fought and then told Arjuna, Krishna, that you give me evidence later because now on the battlefield you cannot give. It's not like that. Krishna could arrange evidence anywhere. So Krishna, through that 40 minutes of talk, the 18 chapters which Krishna can do, Krishna can speak. Krishna was able to give evidence and convince Arjuna to fight. And Arjuna was completely convinced. He mentions, Nashto Moha Smutir Labdha, that all my lamentation, all my illusion is gone, and I am going to do Krishna as you wish. And therefore Arjuna fought.
Thank you.
The battle for your Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Gita Ji mein Bhagwan Krishna ne kaha hai कि मैं ही सबको बुद्धि देता हूँ. आदमी के बस में बुद्धि भी नहीं है. तो जब भगवान कृष्ण ही बुद्धि देते हैं, तब अपन किसी व्यक्ति विशेष को दोषी क्यों मानते हैं कि उसने खून कर दिया, उसने हत्या कर दिया? क्योंकि बुद्धि तो भगवान ने ही दी है उसको. व्यक्ति विशेष तो कहीं भी भागी नहीं हुआ ना. बुद्धि के हिसाब से ही चल रहा है, चाहे अच्छी बुद्धि हो चाहे खराब बुद्धि हो.
हरे कृष्ण. तो माता जी ने प्रश्न पूछा है कि भगवान अगर बुद्धि देते हैं तो फिर भगवान ही रेस्पॉन्सिबल है, भगवान ही सब कुछ कर रहे हैं. अगर अपने अपने पुत्र को, आप में से बहुत सारे लोग ग्रस्त हैं, अपने पुत्र को अगर 100 रुपया दिया है, बेटे जा इस 100 रुपये का सदुपयोग करना, और उस 100 रुपये से अगर बेटे ने कुछ गलत चीज खरीद ली और गलत चीज का जो है उसका पान किया, तो हम देखते हैं कि माता पिता ने पैसा दिया है, लेकिन पैसे का गलत उपयोग किसने किया है? उस व्यक्ति ने किया है. तो जो एक व्यक्ति जो कर्म के हिसाब से उसको जो शरीर मिलता है, तो भगवान देते हैं, लेकिन क्यों देते हैं? क्योंकि हमारी इच्छा है उसे भोग करने की. ऐसे उदाहरण के रूप में भगवद गीता में मैं जो पढ़ रहा था भगवद गीता, प्रभुपाद बताते हैं कि भगवान हमारे शरीर में, हम जो आत्मा है हमारे साथ एक परमात्मा भी है. तो परमात्मा जो है हर शरीर में हमारे साथ आ रहे हैं, और क्योंकि वो इतने निकट है, वो परमात्मा सब जानते हैं कि इस व्यक्ति को, इस आत्मा को उसकी क्या इच्छाएं हैं. तो अगर उसकी इच्छाएं हैं, कुछ इच्छाएं, और वो इच्छाएं के लिए, वो इच्छा लेने की अगर योग्य है, तो भगवान उसको वो इच्छा की पूर्ति करते हैं. तो बुद्धि का उपयोग करना जो है बुद्धि जिस विषय में बात करें हम, वो भौतिक बुद्धि है, लेकिन जो आत्मा है उसकी तो वो तो शरीर, उसका जो वो जो आत्मा है वो कोई न्यूट्रल नहीं है, उसके पास भी इंटेलिजेंस है। तो जब आत्मा का शुद्ध इच्छा होता है तो उस बुद्धि जो भौतिक बुद्धि है उसका वो सदुपयोग करता है आध्यात्मिक रूप में। लेकिन अगर वही आत्मा, उसकी इच्छाएं जो होती है भौतिक होती है, आध्यात्मिक नहीं होती है, तो क्या होता है, फिर वो बुद्धि का उपयोग दुरुपयोग हो जाता है और वो बुद्धि जो आत्मा की बुद्धि हो कवरअप हो जाती है। तो भौतिक बुद्धि अलग है और आत्मा की बुद्धि अलग है। आत्मा की बुद्धि जब कभी विकसित होती है, जब वो किसी गुरु के शरण लेता है और गुरु के शरण के माध्यम से जब वो भक्ति योग करता है, तो जैसे भगवान ने कहा है गीता में कि जो कोई भक्ति करता है तो आवरण निकल जाता है उसका, और जो आवरण निकल जाता है तो वो सही रूप से अपने आप को जान पाता है। जैसे अगर आप आईना देखते हो और आईना में अगर बहुत धूल है तो अपने चेहरे को आप ठीक से देख नहीं पाएंगे, लेकिन जब वो आईने को आप पोंछ देंगे तो आपका चेहरा ठीक से उसमें दिखा देगा। तो उसी तरह से क्योंकि हमारे पास अभी इच्छा है जो सब कुछ विकृत इच्छा है, तो हम अपने आप को देख नहीं पा रहे, और हमारे जो हमारे आत्मा का जो पावर है, जो स्ट्रेंथ है, उसका उपयोग नहीं कर पा रहे क्योंकि वो ढका हुआ है, और इस भौतिक बुद्धि है उसी को अपना बुद्धि मान रहे हैं, और भौतिक बुद्धि और भौतिक मन से हम अपना संसार चला रहे हैं। लेकिन जब हम गुरु के माध्यम से शास्त्र पढ़ते हैं, हरिनाम हरे कृष्ण मंत्र का जप करते हैं, तो क्या होता है, उस वो आवरण निकल जाता है, आईना जो है पोछा जा सकता है, और तब जाके हमको पता चलता है कि मैं आत्मा हूँ, इस शरीर से अलग हूँ, इस बुद्धि से अलग हूँ, इस मन से अलग हूँ, ये अहंकार से अलग हूँ, ये जड़ रूपी शरीर से अलग हूँ, और वो बुद्धि का हम सही उपयोग करते हैं। हरे कृष्ण।
आत्मा शरीर से अलग है, अलग होने के बावजूद भी आत्मा शरीर से एक में ही है। जब तक आत्मा है तभी तक के जीवा में स्वाद है, आंखों से दिखता है, कानों से सुनता है। आत्मा नहीं है तो शरीर में कोई क्रिया नहीं है। ये सब होने के बावजूद भी फिर आत्मा ही सब भोगती है, शरीर तो भोगता ही नहीं है। सुख दुख सब आत्मा के द्वारा ही होता है। जैसे कि पावर हाउस में लाइन काट दिए तो यहाँ लाइट नहीं आएगी, तो आत्मा निकल गई तो शरीर काम का नहीं है।
उदाहरण के रूप में
एक मिनट, फिर ये शरीर को सुख दुख की अनुभूति क्यों होती है? जैसे कि किसी का पैर का हड्डी टूट गया तो उसको असहनीय दर्द होता है, तब वो साक्षी भाव से कहाँ देख पाएगा, वो तो वो दर्द में लिप्त हो जाएगा।
जैसे उदाहरण के रूप में कोई व्यक्ति होता है और उसने एक नई कार खरीदी हो, तो उस कार के प्रति उसकी आसक्ति बढ़ जाती है, अटैच हो जाता है उस कार के प्रति। जैसे कभी नया कार अगर आपके घर पे आया हुआ तो आप बिना बोले रात को सोने के पहले देखते हैं कार नीचे है कि नहीं, और सुबह उठने के पहले देखते हैं कार है कि नहीं, कोई लेके नहीं गया, और लगातार पहले 6 महीने रोज कार को धोते हैं। वो कार के प्रति आपकी आसक्ति बढ़ जाती है, और क्या होता है, उसी कार को अगर कल आपने उसे उठ के देखा कि वो कार पे बड़ा डेंट लग गया है तो आपको बहुत वेदना होती है। क्यों? वो तो कार को डेंट लगा है, आपको क्यों परेशानी हो रही है, आपका कार है, लेकिन क्योंकि आप कार से इतने आसक्त हो गए, जो कार को हो रहा है वो आपको भी हो रहा है, भले आप कार नीचे है और आप ऊपर है अपने घर से देख रहे हैं। तो जितनी आसक्ति होती है उतना हम लोगों के और उस चीज के प्रति उसको अपना अपना समझते, अटैचमेंट हो जाता है। उसी तरह ये आत्मा जो है शरीर से पूरी तरह अटैच हो गया है, शरीर ही भुगत रहा है सब कुछ, लेकिन आत्मा को लग रहा है मैं भुगत रहा हूं। ऐसे उदाहरण के रूप में कोई टैक्सी जा रहा है यहां से तो आप क्या बुलाते हैं, टैक्सी, तो तुरंत टैक्सी वाला रोक देता है। वो टैक्सी वाले को बुलाया नहीं आपने, टैक्सी को बुलाया है तो, लेकिन वो टैक्सी वाले को लगता है कि मैं टैक्सी हूं जो टैक्सी चला रहा है, वो इतना अटैचमेंट होता है। तो उसी तरह जिस प्रति जिस चीज के ऊपर, मोबाइल या आपका घर परिवार, घर कार, किसी प्रति आप पूरी तरह आसक्त हो जाएंगे तो आपको लगेगा कि मेरा है। इसे बोलते हैं एक्सटेंडेड सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन। एक है अपने लिए खाना और दूसरा है कोई और खा रहा है। जैसे उदाहरण के रूप में एक गृहिणी होती है घर में, वो सबको खिलाती है, वो खुद खाती नहीं है, और उस खिलाने से उसको आनंद आता है। क्यों? उसे सब अपने लगते हैं या अपने घर के लोग हैं, क्योंकि वो अटैच्ड है। इसलिए उसी तरह आत्मा जब शरीर से अटैच हो जाता है तो शरीर को जो वेदना होती है, दुख, या शरीर को जो सुख होता है, वो आत्मा को लगता है कि ये मेरा दुख है, ये मेरा सुख है। लेकिन क्योंकि आत्मा का दुख नहीं है और आत्मा का सुख नहीं है, तो जब सुख भी आता है शरीर को, आत्मा सुखी होता नहीं, सेटिस्फेक्शन मिलता नहीं। इसलिए क्या देखते हैं हम लोग, जो जिनके पास सब कुछ है अपने जीवन में, ऐशो आराम है, जिनके पास बड़े बड़े कार है, बड़े बड़े बंगले है, बड़े बहुत पैसा है, और हर आम आदमी सोचेगा कि ये मैं ऐसे बन जाऊं, लेकिन हम उनके जीवन में जाके देखेंगे तो वो संतुष्ट नहीं है। वो सोच रहे कि मुझे और मिले तो अच्छा होगा। क्यों? क्योंकि भौतिक चीजों से संतुष्टि आत्मा को होती नहीं है। आत्मा का खाना अलग है और शरीर का खाना अलग है। हम लोग अभी शरीर को खिलाने में लगे हैं, शरीर को सुख देने में लगे हैं और शरीर के दुख मिटाने में लगे हैं, लेकिन हमारा सुख और दुख है वो हम भूल चुके हैं, हमें पता नहीं क्या है। तो भगवद गीता में लिखा गया है कि शरीर का सुख और दुख क्या है, आत्मा का सुख और दुख क्या है। आत्मा का सुख है जो भगवान से वो जुड़ जाए, और दुख क्या है, जितना भगवान से दूर रहे। तो अभी कीर्तन का समय हो गया है, आपको कुछ प्रश्न है माता जी तो आप बाद में पूछ सकते हैं मुझे। एक चलिए बात, हरे कृष्ण, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय।